Well, thank you, Warren. I appreciate the introduction. I need to correct something right off the bat. I graduated from Texas A&M at Commerce, which is not the normal Texas A&M. It's one of the it's not A&M at College Station. And I don't anybody to think I'm padding my resume by not correcting the that record. Patrick, great job with your comments. I appreciate that. It's National Ag Day, National Ag Week, and it's a terrific time to be highlighting that. Production agriculture has a wonderful story to tell. And the problem is you just have to keep telling it over and over and over. Because as our country gentrifies and more people move into the cities and off the farms and ranches, they are losing or becoming disconnected with how hard production agriculture folks work, what's involved in getting things to the local grocery store. They assume that that stuff just shows up in the grocery store with the variety that they want and the selections that they want by magic. They don't understand the role that production agriculture has in making that happen. We also can't maintain a vibrant rural America without a strong production agricultural industry to make that happen. You can't do enough rural development if we don't have the production agriculture as the backbone of that economy and making that happen. The reason why that's important, in my view, is that rural America is where all of those wonderful attributes that have built this country from our founding fathers to today are kept or storehoused. The hard work and integrity and self-reliance and all the kinds of things that make production agriculture what it is today are based upon those traits, and those traits are held in safekeeping in rural America, we've got to keep that vibrant as well. The reason it's important for you to continue to tell your story is that with all your hard work, with all your sweat equity, with all the risk-taking that you take day in and day out, you have to have a safety net that keeps you in business in the tough times and the tough times. And there will be tough times in agriculture. There always are. I marvel at your ability to take risks. I marvel that you put your wealth on the line every season, worried that Mother Nature is going to not provide enough rain or too much rain or not enough heat units or too many heat units or rain at the wrong time or heat at the wrong time. All those things that you face day in and day out in production agriculture, I marvel at your ability to take those risks to help feed not only the United States but the rest of the world. It is clear that a country that can feed itself, as America does, is more secure than a country that can't feed itself, that's reliant on imports from other parts of the world. And so it's vital that you have that safety net. As we look at the way that safety net is developed, every 5 years we do a farm bill. And in 2018, we're going to have to do another farm bill. And as difficult as the 2014 bill was to finally get to fruition, the 2018 bill will be even tougher. And so we need to create an awareness of that symbiotic relationship between urban America and rural America and why that's important, that we have both of those and that we have supporters in urban America supporting the safety net because they are direct beneficiaries of all the hard work that goes on in production agriculture. As you know, America enjoys the safest, most abundant, and cheapest food and fiber supply of any developed country in the world. And that's based on the hard work, the sweat equity, and the risks that production agriculture takes. And so there is a natural relationship to help us get that done. It needs to not be based in the SNAP program, but it needs to be based in the broader reasons why we have that symbiotic relationship between the two. I mentioned the safekeeping of the traits that built this country good. Let me take my congressman's hat off and my chairman's hat off and just talk to you as one American to another. John Adams wrote that only a moral people can self-govern, that amoral and immoral people have to have a different scheme of governance because they cheat and lie and steal and take advantage of programs. I am deeply concerned that we are losing the moral high ground in order to sustain. You talked about sustaining farming. I want to sustain this self-governance model that we have in place. We can only do that if we're a moral people. And as you look at our country, I'm worried that we're losing that moral high ground, that moral fabric by which we self-govern is becoming so tattered that we'll have to move to a different scheme. What he didn't mention in my bio is I have 7 grandkids, and I want them to be able to live in our self-governance scheme of governance. You and I have grown up in it that way. We've taken it for granted. We assume it will always be that way. But I'm going to argue that I don't think that's the case. We all ask God to bless America. We sing God Bless America, and I'll invoke it here in a second with my closing remarks. I want to challenge each of you to never hear that said again, that you don't ask yourself 2 questions. The first question is, just what about America am I asking God to bless? What's going on that's blessable? I'm asking God to bless the deterioration of the family unit that we've experienced over the last several decades and the impact that has on the moral compasses of children. asking God to bless the coursing of our society, the language we use, the way we interact with each other, and the filth that comes out of Hollywood that we call entertainment, the way we aggrandize those who put that on. And I don't know which side of the life issue you're on, but are we really asking God to bless the killing of 57 million babies in the last 42 years? These and other things are not blessable. God can't continue to bless America if we are on that path, and we can't maintain the moral high ground in order to self-govern. So what am I asking God to bless? Second question is, what's my personal role in reclaiming that moral high ground? Where do I fit in to be able to turn the tide and stop that deterioration in the morals of this country? Each of us has a code that we live by. I live the Judeo-Christian model. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And I try to live his tenets every single day, and some days I'm better at it than others. But you've got a code that you have to live up to as well, and you have to extend that code of conduct, that moral code of conduct, to those around you. You have to plug in to be able to reclaim that moral fabric, that moral high ground, to sew back together that tattered moral fabric that we are allowed to self-govern with. It is self-evident how important it is to future generations of Americans to be able to continue to be able to self-govern, to be able to argue with their member of Congress, to be able to run for city council, to run for president, all those attributes that we like. Let me argue that it's even more important across the world. 100 years ago, World War I was undergoing right now. Think about world history of the last 100 years. Think about what America's role has been in that 100-year history. I would argue that there's never been a country that's done as much good for the rest of the world and asked so little in return as the United States of America, period. It is unparalleled at what we as a nation have done during that 100-year period. I believe that was God's divine mission for our country. I also believe that that's his mission for us for the next 100 years, because if America is not going to defend freedom and keep that flame of liberty alive in the next 100 years, then who's going to do that? Are we going to look to Russia or China or some third world Islamic jihadist nonsense to do that? No. So if the rest of the world is going to benefit and we continue to benefit from those God-given rights of freedom and liberty, then America has to be that champion. We can't be used of God that way unless we're a moral people that can continue the self-governance scheme that we've been inherited. And we obviously want to pass that on to future generations of Americans. What I'm asking God to bless, and what's my personal role and your personal role in reclaiming the moral high ground? God bless each one of you. God bless Texas. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you all very much. Good to be with you today.